I'm welcome to Outthink. I'm Lawrence Akers, clinical hypnotherapist, a member of the LGBT community. And this week I'm feeling particularly vulnerable because not only is it my first international guest on my podcast, but also the first time I'm allowing myself to be videoed and put out there to the world. So it seems appropriate that my first guest in this video podcast should be Brian Madigan, who runs a website called Get Naked Guru. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence.
Now, I guess the obvious starting point is perhaps we begin by explaining what does getting naked mean here?
Yeah, so I guess I chose naked. It's such a powerful word, particularly among gay men, and I chose to use it more metaphorically. So there are times when naked really does mean getting someone to take all their clothes off and stand in the mirror and deal with what they're seeing. But more often than not, we're using it to talk about being authentic, being real, really learning to express your authentic self out in the world, and to do that at deeper and deeper levels.
And so I guess authenticity is it's a fantastic topic, and it's one that I think people hear a lot about nowadays but may not necessarily resonate or connect with in some ways. What does being authentic mean?
I think it means really it's a process, and it's a lifelong process that really involves deepening more and more into your sense of who you really are, what you want, how you move in the world, what you want to accomplish, all of those kinds of things. It sort of impacts every area of your life. I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking of it as, you know, once I'm authentic forever. And that's not really true because, of course, every single day we begin the day as one person and end the day as another. So there's going to be shifts in what that means and challenges in being more open about the things you're discovering in different context. So that's sort of part of that lifelong journey.
What do you think it is that leads people to become inauthentic?
Fear, mainly. You know, there's a lot of pressure in all of our cultures to conform to whatever it is that those cultural norms are, or what our, you know, let's say our family of origin expects us to be. I think particularly for gay and bisexual men, and I'm sure that this plays out for women as well, we learn to hide pretty early on in life. Whenever, you know, we have that, some of us have a very direct awakening and understand what it means. Some of us just know we're different. And we begin to hide ourselves because that different makes us uncomfortable, makes other people uncomfortable, and as children makes us very fearful. And so I think there's a very powerful layer of programming that sort of gets inserted in the way of gay and bisexual men really living their lives as authentically as they'd like to. And a lot of people think that the coming out process erases that. And really, again, that's just the beginning of a lifelong journey of constantly coming out and understanding how that early formative hiding impacts us as people.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you there. And I think in some ways when I talk to people about being authentic, sometimes they're not exactly sure if they're being authentic or inauthentic. You know, they feel like they're on the right path. They feel like they're doing the right things. They got a beautiful house. They got a great partner. They got a great job. How do people know if they are being authentic or inauthentic?
I think it'll play out a little bit differently for everybody, but it's a sense or a feeling that you're pulling back, that you're not quite putting all of it on the line. That there is often the biggest clue for me with clients is they'll talk about how they are in one circumstance with their parents and how they are with their partner and how they are with their friends. And you see to one degree or another that people are showing up as different people. And the more different those people are, you know, the more you have to look at your authenticity and say, okay, why am I holding back? Why am I projecting this different person? Yeah. I think the only place that there's a certain level of that needs to go on is professionally, and certainly in certain professions, there need to be boundaries. And I understand that. And that's part of, you know, that's part of a very delicate balance, you know, for people like us who do this kind of work.
What led you to start up Get Naked?
I've been coaching for probably about 8 years or full-time, basically building a coaching practice, more or less dealing with women in transition. So women in their 40s and 50s who are changing their lives. I got some good results with clients. I enjoyed my clients, but there was just something missing and I didn't quite know what it was. And I guess, you know, I worked with a couple of coaches and we suddenly came up with this idea that this thing that I had been resisting throughout my like professional life was working with other gay men, and realized that maybe there was something to that. And then as we started to talk about it and talk about my reasons for that and how I was feeling about the community and the other, and the men I was interacting with, you know, except for, you know, a small group of close friends, I realized, oh, you know what, there's something for me to say here and something for me to give here and a lot of development for me to do around this, because my heart's much more invested in this, and it's a lot scarier to be reaching out to your community, and you know that fear of rejection is there and very powerful at times. So I recognize, hey, you know, if I'm going to take my step as a person, next step as a person, I need to be okay with being brave with my people.
And how long did that process take you?
We probably worked pretty diligently for about 6 months, just figuring out what it was all going to look like. And then the whole idea of Get Naked, and, you know, there's the gay guru thing, which is sort of happening as well. So there's a whole bunch of different things going on. So it took us probably about 6 months to get a fairly solid ground under my feet to me to actually start the business, start coaching, start doing some work with people. And it was probably another year before I really started getting a much more solid vision about, you know, what Get Naked means, what my role is as, you know, gay guru, and what that means and why I'm stepping into that, and, you know, sort of really understand the work that I want to do with people, and also give me enough time to figure out the work they want to do with me, which has become very clear over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah. On your website, you talk about some of the values that are involved in getting naked. Perhaps you might want to talk a little bit about some of those values.
I think, you know, authenticity is obviously one of the big ones. I think community, my vision for this eventually is that as I start to work with people and I start to gather like-minded people, that we're going to form a community of men who can make our culture, gay culture at large, look a little different, certainly for some people, you know, to become a more powerful. I'm seeing a more powerful group of, you know, arguably older, although I have difficulty with 35 being older, but that's the way it seems to me, who just are looking at life from a different perspective. You know, spirituality is a very big value of mine, and I think that drawing some contrasts between religion and spirituality and helping gay men understand that, yes, we get that the traditional religions have not been very kind to us, but that doesn't mean that you reject the whole deeper dimension of life. Yeah. You know, so those things are important. And just the idea, that idea of community, that idea of supporting each other, that idea of being open to using our own understanding of ourselves as a minority to embrace a much wider, broader perspective and to deal with things like racism and sexism and those kinds of things within our community and then hopefully in the world at large, and ageism as well, which is a big one.
Yeah. And you mentioned a few things there, but I was going to ask, what kind of issues and challenges do you find hold people back from getting naked?
I think the three biggest areas that people are dealing with are the getting older thing is really the biggest. It's the thing that's resonating the most with everybody. I'm 55, so I get where, you know, my market is kind of, community is sort of in that age range, and I get it. Like, you know, it's very strange to sit here and go, wait, hold it, you know, this doesn't feel old to me, but wow, I look at the media, that looks a little different. So I think the idea of aging, you know, the idea of just losing that youthful, stereotypical, this is what it means to be gay thing for, you know, for those of us who ever even had it. That's a big deal for people, and I think that process of feeling like they're losing something rather than understanding that they're gaining something at the same time is a big challenge and a big focus of work for me. Another thing is just this whole stereotype about, you know, gay men die old and alone, which I don't think is true, partnered or not, for certainly it won't be for most of our generation, and dealing with that and understanding that that's a cultural stereotype that we all grew up with, that we were all trained into, and that we just don't have to accept it, whether we choose to be in a partnered situation or not. There are ways to deal with that move beyond traditional families, and it's, you know, a very big challenge for a lot of people, that fear. And then it goes into relationships, the fear of being alone, the fear of not having that person, and really helping people understand that you need to be coming from a place of what is it that I'm looking for in a relationship, rather than completely focusing on what kind of guy do I want. You know, it's got to be about more than that if it's going to have any real value in your life. And so really reframing that whole relationship loneliness piece for people is a big big, big piece of it. And then there's just coming out. You know, it's been surprising to me how many younger guys, you know, guys in their 20s and early 30s, who've reached out from either sort of subcultures, areas in the West or from other countries where things are much more oppressive, and they're really struggling in a similar way that I did as a teenager coming out in the 70s. And it's kind of like, wow, okay, this is still going on. You know, life isn't easy for everybody. And I think that, you know, using the wisdom and the understanding of how our gay rights movements developed, you know, in US, Canada, Europe, and Australia, and helping them understand that, you know, this is something that's worth fighting the good fight for, and you can get there because we really weren't that far ahead than where you guys are now. So there's that as a big challenge for people as well. And then just, you know, people coming out, bisexual men, feeling like they're discounted by everybody, nobody believes they exist, all of that kind of stuff going on for them. And I've always had bi men in my life. I've married one now, so it's like, yes, it exists, and yes, you guys have every right to be proud and out and doing what we do, and we should be supporting you and loving you, not pretending that you're some strange creature that we don't want anything to do with.
It's funny you mention that, because some of our previous podcasts have talked about bisexuality and how they really are, I guess, the whipping boys of our community, in the sense that, you know, the gay side will say that they're sitting on the fence. The straight side will say they're confused gay men. It's this whole kind of misconception around bisexuality. I imagine they must get a lot more stigma thrown at them than
absolutely
what necessarily even a gay person might.
In a lot of ways, I think they do, because they're getting it from our community as well. You know, I mean, we are not necessarily so kind to each other all the time, but I mean, some of the things I've, like when I've posted about bisexuality to my Facebook group or to Twitter, some of the rabid responses I get from other gay men are just, you know, why are you talking to them? They don't belong here. I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course they belong here.
How can they not belong here? Don't you? Yeah, it's like, how come we're getting this response? What is it that gay men are afraid of with bisexuality? Do you think it's because there's that, you know, that duality and that frightens them? Or what do you think it is?
I think it's partly that. I think, you know, I think for those of us who are older, there was a time when a lot of men who said they were bisexual were really gay men and who are pretty much still in the closet. There's some of that going on. There's some of the idea, and this is, you know, another cultural fallacy that, you know, a bisexual man will always leave you for a woman because being straight is easier. There's this belief, and it's not true, you know, or a belief that because someone's bisexual, they have to be satisfying those sexual interests with both genders or they're not going to be satisfied. And that's also ridiculous. You know, I mean, gay men choose to have open relationships and not, and why wouldn't bisexual men be able to do the same thing? It's, you know. I think that people think that this sexual dynamic, the attraction dynamic, is so different for bisexual people, and it's ridiculous. They're still human. They, you know, it's the same.
You mentioned before your own coming out a little while back, and mentioning how much harder it was back then. Do you think that over time, given the changes that have gone on in society, that it's become easier for people to come out and that they might be carrying this?
In some places, in some contexts, I do think it's much, much easier than it used to be. You know, I had my nephew actually reached out a little while ago, and his girlfriend's best friend was in the process of coming out and didn't know anyone gay. And he was surprised. You know, my uncle's gay. Like, why don't you talk to him? And I'm like, okay, you know, there's only so much I can do, you know, with a guy, a 17-year-old guy. I can sort of chat a little, give him some advice about who to talk to in the family. But, you know, so there are still times when it's not that easy. But at the same time, I meet amazing kids sometimes, you know, kids of friends of mine or acquaintances, and you're, oh yeah, my daughter just came out, she's 16, and it's like nobody's making a big deal about it. And you're like, wow, wouldn't that have been nice? So I think it is easier for the most part for kids in larger centers who are in religious environments that aren't going to be particularly oppressive, you know, yes, it's easier. But, you know, I don't know that that journey is much easier for Catholic kids or Muslim kids yet. You know, maybe easier than it was when I came out, but I don't think easy yet. You know, there's those traditional religions that have their views on homosexuality. It's hard to get movement there. And, you know, and it still saddens me how many kids we see on the street, and the majority of them are gay. And, you know, so there's still kids being kicked out of their houses in urban centers in Australia and Canada and US, and that's shameful for me.
You're fortunate to come from a country where I think most of the rest of the world wishes they could move to right now. given that Canada is such a beautiful country, and you have a prime minister that we either are drooling over or looking at these policies and thinking, wow, that's really progressive. Politically, I think we're seeing in the world that we're making great strides for this community, but there's also that risk with, you know, whoever's in power that things could step backwards again. What kind of impact do you think the politics of the world are having on the gay community? And what kind of, I guess this is a twofold question, you know, what kind of issue is politics having, and what kind of global market is coming to you for assistance?
That's a really, it's interesting. I mean, you know, we do need to see how it plays out, but the reality is the world is moving pretty quickly, pretty far to the right, which never spells good news for anybody in any kind of minority. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. I think it's important for us to not take the gains we've made for granted, because they can be taken away. And there's countries where it will take, you know, we had a very, very conservative government here for a number of years, and the amount of, they felt it just wasn't worth the effort of rolling it back. But, you know, conservative Canadians tend to be pretty centrist anyway. We don't really tend to venture too far to the right. But, you know, when you look at what's going on in the States, it's scary. You know, it's frightening that a country that for so many years was a leader, you know, in protecting the rights of LGBT people is probably going to take some steps backwards. And people are afraid. And people are afraid to come out. And, you know, and people are really looking to figure out what they can do to build better lives. And so I do have, you know, I'd say the majority of the men who reach out to me are American anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of American men reaching out who are afraid, a lot of people who are afraid to come out, a lot of people who are looking to say, okay, I live in this very conservative area that I felt safe in before, but now I'm worried for myself and my family and, you know, my partner. And I think maybe we need to move to a place that's a little more liberal and a little safer, because they're worried about what's going to happen even within their own communities as these very, you know, violent right-wing ideas become acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard some horror stories from my friends of color as well about things that have gone down in the States since the election. And it's, you know, it's almost like these people are bigots are being given permission to be crazy. And they are being, and that's very unfortunate. And I, you know, we need to fight hard to make sure that all the kinds of civil rights that were won in the 60s, you know, are not lost because of this shift, right?
Absolutely. I guess tell us a little bit about what are the services that Get Naked Guru offers. You know, what can people get from approaching your website, which is www.getnakedguru.com, and exploring reaching out to you?
There's lots of good information there. There's lots of good information about coming out. There's lots of good information about how I think about different areas of life, you know, how I think about getting naked with yourself, about understanding who you really are and how that journey deepens and strengthens, about health, about success and career, about family and relationships, about all anything. Spirituality as well is a fairly big section there. It's one of my agendas is to, as I mentioned, sort of break through that barrier and say, listen, we have choices and we need to recognize that we do, and then it's your choice what you do with it. So there's lots of great information on the website. Personally, I do offer some webinars that help people dig a little deeper in sort of a group setting. I offer introductory coaching calls. I call them Get Naked Discovery Experiences. There's sort of a general one. There's one that's specific about getting older and men's challenges with getting older, and one that's specifically around relationships and why they haven't found Mr. Right or why their relationship isn't working out the way they'd hoped. So those are kind of the generic sort of free services that I offer. And then there's also one-on-one coaching. My vision is definitely eventually to be doing some seminar work, but I don't feel like I'm really ready to start doing that stuff yet. I love the one-on-one coaching too much right now to be branching out and thinning it out more. So lots of one-on-one coaching can look like anything. It can look like any area of life that they want to deal with. You know, I have a basic structure that I use, but pretty much it's what are you coming to the table with? What are the challenges? Where do you want to go? And then let's, you know, figure out in the context of a coaching package how far we can get you down that road.
Right. And I guess in terms of coming back to that whole idea of authenticity, you know, what tips would you give anyone out there who are looking to become more authentic? What would you say to help them begin that process or start down that process?
I think much like coming out, it's really important, you know, if you've got a piece of yourself that you've been hiding from people, to find somebody, you know, if it's family, then find someone within the family, find someone within your circle of friends, find somebody who you know is either so close to you that they're going to basically deal with whatever it is and go, oh, that's interesting, and explore. Or you just know are going to be fine with this particular piece of yourself that you're trying to express more, and to have them as an ally. Part of that is because we filter with so much fear around these things, particularly if we've been hiding something for a long time, that having someone with that perspective who can say, oh, listen, like nobody in this circle is going to have any issue with that. What are you talking about? You know, or be able to say, oh, you know, that might not be the right person to talk about liking puppy play. Maybe that's going to freak them out a little bit. So you might want to be a little gentle in how you approach that topic.
Maybe not your grand. She might not necessarily get that too much.
Don't wear the tail to dinner with mom.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think it's just being realistic about other people but finding that ally can be really critical because or a coach or a therapist or, you know, somebody who's going to work with you who can help you have that perspective. But I think that somebody from your personal life who knows those people can really give you that, hey, you know, you're worrying about nothing. It's going to be fine.
That
particularly for coming out, that's critical. Find that ally within the family who's just not going to have a problem with anything. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference in how that experience goes down for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I hope people have been listening today or watching today's podcast. Goodness me. Have gained some insight into you know, what the Naked Gay Men movement is all about. And, you know, hopefully we'll reach out to you as well and say hello. And we look forward to people joining us for future podcasts as well. So thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. So thank you, Brian, for joining us. And we'll see everyone soon.
And thanks so much for having me. Take care. It was good meeting you.